Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are The Phoenician Scheme, Misericordia, and When Fall is Coming.
I'd like to talk about a new American movie and then a couple of new French movies, which are all around right now on the scene. Interestingly, the French movies have some things in common with each other, just by coincidence, I think. But there's a bit of a theme going on, at least with those two films. But let us begin with the new movie by the American director Wes Anderson. It's called The Phoenician Scheme. And yep, it sure is about a whole lot of scheming. And it has the kind of cast of very, very well-known people, you know, big stars or big character actors, the kind of people that Wes Anderson is good at assembling for his movies. And this is in every way such a Wes Anderson movie. I'll get to that in a moment. A little bit about what the movie is about. Benicio del Toro is the main star of the movie, and he plays a guy with the unlikely name of Zsa Zsa Korda. And Zsa Zsa is a wheeler dealer, and that should be in all caps, because he has been called a puppet master. He has been called any kind of person whose goal in life is to control and manipulate others. That's what he does. And the movie begins with Zsa Zsa in an airplane, a private jet of his, of course. And this is the very opening moments of the movie, so this is not exactly a spoiler. Suddenly there is a tremendous incident, something dramatic happens. The plane has to make a forced landing, and we find out that Zsa Zsa seems to survive plane crashes on almost a regular basis. So, okay, that's a little bit strange, but that's not what the movie is about. We then see him recovering from the small injuries that he sustained during the plane crash, and we then see him set about what is going to be the largest and most elaborate scheme of his entire life. And this is the Phoenician Scheme, and it's what the whole movie is following. Although it never really, at least to my mind, becomes entirely clear just what the whole thing is about. It involves various different categories. Zsa Zsa has these organized in cigar boxes or shoe boxes or some sort of little boxes. And over the course of the movie, we go through these one by one and we kind of follow what's going on as Zsa Zsa tries to put together his great scheme. Now, involved in these various schemes are all kinds of other people whom Zsa Zsa is either manipulating or trying to manipulate or planning to manipulate. There are a couple of brothers played by Tom Hanks and Bryan Cranston. As I said, this is a big name cast. There is a nightclub owner named Marseille Bob, played by the French, very good French actor, Mathieu Amalric. There is a Prince Farouk, played by Riz Ahmed. There is an American, a Black American, played by Jeffrey Wright. There is a young woman, played by Scarlett Johansson. And all through the movie, I was waiting for, because I knew he was coming from the opening titles, Uncle Nubar, which is sometimes pronounced Nubar, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, my favorite of all the actors I've mentioned, except for maybe Tom Hanks. And we wait for him, and he finally shows up in the last part of the movie, and he seems to be a very, very strange and bizarre and perhaps dangerous, perhaps not individual. And then, of course, there are the supporting players, people like Willem Dafoe and Bill Murray and Hope Davis and various others. And I have to mention Michael Cera, who really plays somebody who emerges basically as the main character of the movie. I also have to mention that Zsa Zsa has a relative named Liesel, played by Mia Threapleton, who also becomes a very important character. She is a nun, and she is apparently as much of a wheeler dealer in her own very quiet way as her uncle, although she's also very different from her uncle. So anyway, this stuff is all going on, and it's all very strange, and it's all very odd. And by the way, I think I misspoke, because this movie has very complicated relationships. Liesel is the daughter, not the niece of Zsa Zsa, but it doesn't really matter. The point is that she's very much a part of the story as it unfolds. Now, I myself have very mixed feelings and not entirely positive feelings about Wes Anderson's movies. And what bothers me about some of his movies, in fact, pretty much all of his movies, is exactly what other people love about them. He has a really distinctive visual style. And I give Wes Anderson all the credit in the world for having come up with this distinctive style that makes his movies, you can watch about a minute maybe of any Wes Anderson movie and know that's a Wes Anderson movie. Now that's very impressive in our day and age when so many movies follow the big formulas that all the studios and all the independent companies and most of the independent filmmakers are all sort of falling into in one way or another. Anderson really goes his own way and really does have a style that is different from any other. It is full of pastel colors. It is full of very symmetrical compositions. And the problem with all of this is, to my way of thinking, there is not a shred of spontaneity anywhere to be seen. And that is something I really value in the movies. It's a sense of aliveness, of spontaneity, and unpredictability. Once a movie begins by Wes Anderson, we see it follow its own little patterns, its own little formulas. And of course, the story is going to be different and the characters are going to be different, but the style is the same from movie to movie to movie. And it bothers me. And I always just find his movies to be lacking in that sense of in-the-moment spontaneity that I really value in films. But as I said, that's exactly what a lot of people love about Wes Anderson's movies. So, make your own mind up. If you haven't seen any of his films before, The Phoenician Scheme is not a bad place to start. Maybe you'll love it. So I recommend it for people who like Wes Anderson's style or for people who at least don't mind taking a chance on a new Wes Anderson movie. I certainly keep up with his work. It's interesting in its way. I just don't find it has that spontaneity, which I love in the movies. Now, I mentioned before that we have two French films today, and they each involve villages, and they each involve relationships of people in those villages. A priest comes into each one of them. People go out into the woods and gather mushrooms in each one of them. So they have a lot in common. And also, they have very serious themes and sort of a, oh, slightly deadpan comic style to them. Although it's more pronounced, I think, in Misericordia than in When Fall Is Coming. But let's begin with Misericordia. That, by the way, is a word that means, especially in Roman Catholic liturgy, mercy. So Misericordia, it always sounds to me like misery, but no, it really means mercy. And this is a movie written and directed by Alain Giraudy, which is very much about the concept of mercy. We are in a French village. And at the very beginning of the movie, we have during the opening titles, there's a long bunch of driving going on. Somebody is in a car just driving down a road, no car radio playing, nothing going on. So, what's going to happen? The suspense sort of builds right away at the very beginning of the film. Well, we eventually discover that this is a young man named Jeremy, played by Félix Kiesil. And he arrives in the village, and we find out before long that that is where he spent his teenage years. And he is coming back to the village now after a long time away for a funeral. He used to work for a baker in the town, a man who was a very important citizen of the village. Now he has died, and there's going to be his funeral. And Jeremy moves in more or less with the widow just to stay there during the time of the funeral. But then he eventually decides to stay longer. In fact, at first he is invited by the widow to stay longer. And then it turns out that's really what he wants to do. So before you know it, he's more or less living in this house with the baker's widow. However, there are other people very important to this story. One is that there is a guy, a very heavy guy, named Walter, who lives all alone and is kind of a loner, although he's also a part of the community and all of that. And Jeremy and this guy, Walter, seem to have some kind of a strange relationship that develops as the movie proceeds. Then there's another guy who's really important in the story, who turns out to be an enemy of Jeremy's, and it takes us a while to figure out why they are enemies, or why at least this guy does not like Jeremy. And there seems to be a kind of a homosexual tinge to a fair amount of this. Jeremy, we eventually surmise, is probably gay, and some of these people seem to like that, and some of the people seem to be regard him as sort of a threat for some reason or other. So that's also very much going on in this story. And then I mentioned there is a priest, Father Philippe. And he is the one who's always going out into the woods and looking for mushrooms. And sometimes he runs into Jeremy out in the woods as well. Well, those are the basic setups for the movie. We have this sort of gay undertone, which sometimes becomes an overtone. We have these conflicting relationships, some of which seem fairly neutral, some of which seem friendly, some of which seem hostile. And we then have a huge event that occurs well into the movie, which I won't give away, which really changes a lot of what we've been watching, changes our attitude toward it, and certainly changes what Jeremy is going through. I'll just say it involves a crime, and Jeremy has to cover up the crime, and that leads him to make up various stories, and that leads the police into the whole thing, and they are partly believing him and partly not believing him, and the plot thickens from there. Now, all of this is played in a very low-key way. This is not some sort of a film noir kind of a thing. This is a movie that takes place in a village, and the people have their little relationships, and there's no big melodrama going on, but there's a whole lot of drama. Even though it is generally played in a fairly subdued way. I liked the movie a lot. The film has been getting rapturous reviews from many, many critics, and I can't quite go along with that. Its themes are really important. This really is a movie about mercy, the concept of mercy. When is mercy deserved? When is mercy not deserved? We have a priest as a main character, but this is also very important, not just in religious terms, but in secular terms. And that is very much a hugely important theme, and it's a fascinating one for this movie to take on. And it really is what the movie is about, just as much as it is about the sort of murder mystery plot. That said, however, I just found it unfolds very slowly. It's sort of stodgy. It's sort of pokey. It takes a long time developing its points. That's refreshing compared with most Hollywood movies nowadays, which are always flinging stuff at us, new thing every 5 seconds. And it's refreshing to see a movie that takes its time in unfolding, but I did find it a little bit unduly slow at times. So Misericordia, a really fascinating movie to think about, a really fascinating movie to experience if you can get in touch with its very slow pace, but also a movie with really, really, really big things on its mind. So for that alone, I really recommend it. And most people seem to like it a lot more than I do. I like it. I think it's a very fine movie. I just couldn't love it because I just found it wasn't a lot of fun or really consistently interesting to watch. But as I said, it's very interesting to think about. So Misericordia, definitely a French movie to plug into. It's worthwhile. And finally, a movie by François Ozon, filmmaker who's been around a long time. He directed this and co-wrote it. It's called in French, Quand vient l'automne, but the English title is When Fall is Coming. And this movie is so beautifully autumnal. Everything about it is autumnal. Much of it takes place in the fall, even though the story ultimately covers years. We often have scenes set in the autumn with foliage all over the place, beautiful colors and all of that. And the main character is a woman who is in her autumn year. She's getting on in years. She's been around for a long time. So what happens is we basically follow her and a lot of her relations with people in her village and nearby her home. She sort of lives out in the country, but she's very nearby a village. She used to be a Parisian. And as the movie goes along, we find out more and more about her past life. Well, she has a best friend, and that best friend has a son who is in prison. So that's very important to the story. Eventually, not too long into the movie, the son comes out of prison. We never find out what he did to get into prison, but apparently it was something pretty bad. So he gets out of prison. Also, we have a very young grandson who comes to visit her. And then something happens fairly early in the film that involves an accidental poisoning, which involves Michelle's daughter. So Michelle's daughter has never gotten along with her mother. Now the daughter suspects the mother may have actually tried deliberately to poison her. So that's a very strange thing. So we have this mother who's always been on the outs with her daughter a little bit. Now the daughter really thinks her mother may have tried to kill her. And so the daughter wants nothing to do with the mother. And so the daughter now says her son, Michelle's grandson, can no longer come to visit, can no longer come see with her. Basically, Michelle is going to be deprived of her young grandson, whom she so much loves. So that's a big wrinkle in the story. And then as time goes on, we get various complications in the relationships. The guy who just came out of prison does something really, really dramatic. And that makes a big twist in the story. The relationship between Michelle and her closest friend goes through various changes, especially when the closest friend becomes seriously ill. And then we have the daughter who feels that her own mother tried to kill her. Well, I'm not going to try to untangle all this now. But basically, we have this story, which is, again, sort of a film noir story, but told in a gentle, quiet, deliberate way. There are violent things that happen in it, but they never happen in front of our eyes. And basically, the story is very much like Misericordia, a low-key drama that develops things in a very quiet and gentle, but sometimes very, very disturbing way. I found Windfall is Coming a beautiful movie to watch. Like Misericordia, it's fairly slow. You have to sink into its rhythms. But I just found it always held my interest, partly through the beautiful performances by everybody involved, and partly because I could never quite tell where the story was going to go next. So, When Fall is Coming, don't wait for fall. It's a good movie to see. I really recommend seeking it out. It's streaming. It's a good picture. I really had a good time with this very autumnal film. So that is my somewhat Frenchified story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films, The Phoenician Scheme, Misericordia, and When Fall is Coming.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.